We welcome to Star 94.1, Wes Morgan. Wes, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. And you?
Hey, I'm doing well myself. I'm blessed. Wes, tell folks about Wes Morgan, because is this your first project?
Well, you know, I've made some projects. I've been singing in church, specifically in church since I was a kid, you know, 5-7 years old. I can remember my mother sitting me on the bench of a B3 organ when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, and her teaching me how to sing. And so, you know, singing through the church, most of my life, I have the opportunity to record here and there, and done a recording with my baby sister back when I was in my teenage years. So I've done a couple of things, but this is really the first project that I've done solo and begin to release. And so we're really excited about it.
Look at Me Now. Tell us about Look at Me Now.
Well, Look at Me Now. Actually, we started coming across this, the title, because, you know, growing up in a pastor's home and ministry and being strung out on drugs, having issues with alcohol, those types of things, you can acquire a lot of critics. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to go well together. And, you know, people in the church saying that I would always be strung out and I'd always... that I would never come out of the lifestyle that I was living. You know, I had to write that particular song, the title cut, Look at Me Now, to all my critics, sir, to let everybody know that they're not the ones who have the last say, and that God has a last say. And so really I wrote that song to all the people who said that I would never make it, tried to tell my wife that I'd always be strung out, Told people that I wasn't worth investing in, and et cetera. That's what that song's about. After everything that was wrong in my life, all the odds that were stacked against me, God steps in, turns everything around, and manifests His glory through somebody that most people wanted to discard.
That's a beautiful song.
Well, I appreciate it. I began to write the song and the other songs on the project, based on a lot of hurt, based on a lot of, you know, frustration, trying to get it right, getting up on my feet, falling back down, and doing that perpetually. You know, I really wanted to write from the experiences of scratching my way out of that pit that I was in. And so that's what the whole project is really about. It's got a lot of healing in it, got a lot of restoration, a lot of hope. And, man, I'm excited about it. There's a lot of people who already given us testimonies as to how the song has ministered to them, and some of them are addicts, and some of them are just connected to addicts, you understand? But it's a wonderful song. It really is. It's got a strong message.
It definitely does. How did you appeared on 700 Club.
Mm-hmm.
How did you bring yourself to just give your testimony to millions of people on a venue like the 700 Club? Was that hard to do?
You know, and it's okay for me to address you as AJ, HJ, I'm
yes.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, HJ, my whole life has been, I've had many incidents, occurrences that have just displayed the favor of God on my life. I wish I could stand here and say, you know, I did this right, or I had the right promotion campaign, or I had this, or I said the right things at the right time. But I can't take credit for that. You know, of course, God uses our gifts, and we try to hone in on those things so that God can use them. But the truth is, HJ, man, God... just as I began to attach purpose to my life and I began to open my life up and share with people, God has just, it is absolutely amazing how God has begun to open up one door after the next. I mean, he's continually opened up doors. It's not doors that I'm beating down. It's not doors that I'm knocking on. although I do believe that we're supposed to knock and ask and seek, but my life has just been different. And so I guess going around, you know, the long way to get to the to answer the question, I really don't know. I got a phone call one day. I had just got back from preaching a conference in New Jersey, and I got home, and I was very tired. And I got a phone call saying from my assistant saying that CBN had emailed us and wanted to sit down and talk to me about my life story. And so we did that, and they wanted to set something up right away to sit down and talk about what was going on and what had happened. And so when I talked about that, you know, there was a lot of tears shed on my side and their side. You know, it was awesome because they aired the show. Then they called back and said they were airing it by popular demand. They were airing it in the UK. And then they come back and said, we want to air it again during the months of December because there's so many people hurting and depressed through these months. We want to come back and air it again. So it's just been, there's no explanation for it, but just divine favor. God has just, he's begun to bless, and he's begun to use this tool, this testimony, to bless people. And I'm excited about it.
How does a PK get involved in drugs?
You know, I've been asked that question numerous times. I don't know that I ever get the answer right.
Okay.
And as I was saying earlier, just, you know, being addicted to drugs and all of the issues that surrounded that issue or was kindred to that issue, you know, it's not real compatible with growing up in a pastor's home. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of things that could be said about that. I think to sum it up, you know, I grew up Pentecostal. And I don't call the organization's name, but it was very strict. And I'm a colorful person. I have a strong personality, and I'm an artist. I'm a minister. I'm a pastor, and you know, even as a young child, man, I just began to try to kick walls down that tried to box me in. You know, I never wanted anybody to try to dictate or you know, form or frame up my world for me. And so I have always been kind of prone to, you know, run against the grain, if you will. And so when I grew up in that religion, H.J., I think that I was so curious to know what was on the other side that, you know, I began to dabble with it. And I think that hanging out with older people, you know, I smoked my first joint when I was 11 years old. I got drunk for the first time when I was 10. So, you know, I was doing it at a young age. By the time I was 14, I was snorting cocaine. And so, you know, but the day I got drunk, I'll never forget. I may say this. The day I smoked my first joint, I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was in for a bout because I knew that I had just been hit by something that was bigger than me. And that was, of course, addiction. My life began to unravel. At the age of 11, 12, 13 years old, things just become uncontrollable. You know, I was in and out of juvenile detentions. When I was 14, 15 years old, I was already in and out of criminal court. Judicial systems was evaluating me. I've been in medical centers where they thought maybe that I had some type of mental disorder. And you know, it's been a lot of things that's gone on. I don't know that I can really define one specific thing other than the fact that I just wanted to know what was on the other side. You know, human beings, they think the grass is greener on the other side.
Most definitely.
And you know, that's the best way I could answer that question without going into a lot of details that I know we don't have time for.